page 245. Page 101.
Jesus lives today. wonderful world up here before I preach, and I nearly forget I'm supposed to get up here. Good morning. Jane was looking at me like, are you coming or not? It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We had, as we always do, had a very good class, and I know you did as well, and invite everyone to join in our Sunday school class. But right now we invite you, if you're visiting here, to join in with us as we worship God and sing praises to His name and read from His Word here in a little bit. I'm happy to be here. Good place to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming. I did see some foliage pictures up there a while ago. And, you know, I was Cindy and I were sitting out on the porch yesterday, and it's still hot, but not as unbearably hot as it has been. So the days are getting shorter. And I talked to my cousin in Colorado a couple times this week. He said they'd had some high 20s and some low 30s, and the leaves were turning. But he also said last year, 2 weeks from right now, they opened the ski resort and it hadn't snowed any. So it's cooling off. It just seems like it's coming a little slower. It's coming. May turn into winter immediately following this hot blast, but it's coming. I look forward to it. It's chili time, soup time, sit out by the fire time. Cindy likes to eat s'more time. I don't like s'mores myself, but she'll be stocking the cupboard with graham crackers, marshmallows, and chocolate bars. So if you like that stuff, come on up, and I'll watch y'all eat them. Huh? Nah, them things are nasty. Like. All right. We have a few announcements to make, and enjoy the little bit of reprieve that we had because this is fixing to get full quick. So it's a good time, though. So this evening, this afternoon at 6 o'clock, we will have a singing and a fellowship to follow. So come and bring a song or ever how many you want to, and we're going to sing, and then we'll walk across the way over and have some food and some good fellowship. So come and bring someone with you tonight. We always have a good time. Next Sunday morning will be our building fund offering. Our building fund is what does a lot of repairs, remodels. It's done quite a bit here in the last year, so keep that in mind as you come next Sunday. Also, next Sunday evening, October the 6th, is our business meeting. So if you want to know what's going on here at Oak Hill, come to the business meeting. You just see everything we're doing here, and it's quite a lot. So I encourage you to come be a part of that. Nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy. Next Sunday is Miss Levita and Vicky. All right, anything I missed?
Page 38.
Through my disappointments, right in discontentment, I rest my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid. Standing on the rock of ages, saving from all the
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody out here today. Has anybody anticipated this week being here this morning?
Yes.
I have. There's just been some kind, even though I haven't had a real good week, I've kind of been under the weather. There's just been an anticipation about being in God's house this morning. Brother Jerry and I, Standridge, we got to meet here yesterday and did a little bit of yard work. He did most of it. I was just kind of moral support, really. But, you know, the Word says that we're two or more gathered in my name, and Brother Jerry and I had one of the most wonderful conversations yesterday. We just had a really good time. And by the way, we're going to have a really good time tonight with singing and refreshments. There's just a lot of good treats in store for tonight. So please come back. Everybody come back. Bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you that likes to sing. But it's just good to be in the house of the Lord here this morning. I don't know of any other place I'd rather be than right here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church.
Amen.
But the choir, we got business to attend to. The choir's going to... Oh, and Miss Jerry's already given me a chuckle. Y'all were talking about s'mores a while ago. And you know, Southern women have this way of talking. You didn't even know you did it, honey. S'mores is now a two-syllable word. Okay, that's a joke, Baptist. You can laugh. It's s'mowers.
That's all right. I get even.
So I got to chuckle over that a while ago. We're going to do a song for you this morning. It's entitled, Keep On Walking.
I search and I search for the road that leads to glory. I wondered if I'd ever find the way. I sat down to rest, for my feet had grown so weary. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep on walking, keep on walking, walking in the light of the Lord. Walking in the light of the Lord, you'll get to heaven someday and get in the right way. Walking in the light of the Lord, you've got to keep on walking, keep on walking, walking in the light of the Lord. Walking in the light of the Lord. Walking in the light of the Lord.
Amen. It does my heart good to see Jimmy up there in that choir. Amen. And I could hear him singing a little bit too. So you keep up the good work, sir. I appreciate you, Jimmy. Well, as I said earlier, Bobby Goins went on to be with the Lord last week, and yesterday at his funeral, I heard probably one of the best sermons preached at a funeral to a very mixed crowd of young and old and many different religions that I've ever heard, I believe, and there were obviously people there from many different religious backgrounds and beliefs. I'm going to borrow just a little bit of his sermon this morning, get me started. Really touched me. Can't quote him, but I can give him credit. His name is James Pruitt. He is a, if you've ever heard him preach, he's a very talented speaker. God works greatly through him. I love him very much. He's back in Louisiana now, preaching or pastoring a church down there, but good brother in Christ. He said this, there's one thing that all people from all religions have in common. No matter what religion, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Mormon, Christian, any that you can name, we all have one thing in common, and that is death. We all share that fate, if you will, destiny, if you will. It's part of life. We're promised a little over 70 years in the Bible. Obviously, some live longer. Cindy has a cousin that's over, or an aunt that's over 100. We have several here in our congregation that are they're over that number. I was thinking about it this morning as I was going back over it. Only about 12 years until I get there to 70. Boy, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? But we all have this destiny with death. In Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. According to the latest statistics, Brother James read some off. I couldn't remember what they were, so I looked them up myself. The source that I looked up says this, 55,300,000 people die each year. 151,600 each day. 6,316 each hour. 105 people die every minute. That's 2 people every second. So while we're here at church this morning for a couple of hours, 12,632 people will have died worldwide in a short 2-hour span. Why? Is the question that was asked yesterday, and I thought he answered it very well. It's a question that the world wants to ask. Why must man die? Now, man tries to lengthen our lifespans, and we do live longer now, it seems like, than we used to. Some people, if you keep up with some science stuff, have went so far as to have their bodies deep frozen so that when the cure for whatever disease that they died from is found, they could be thawed out and resurrected and brought back to life and cured. But the truth of the matter is that we really know why that we must die. It's in our Creator's instruction manual, this thing that we call the Bible, which is God's Word to us. We have a tendency as humans to get the cart before the horse a lot of times. And I preached the sermon, I used this analogy some years back, but you know, us guys are kind of like this. We like to put stuff together without reading the instruction manual. One Christmas, I can remember putting some of the kids' toys together, and I got this, whatever it was, scattered all over the living room floor, and, you know, I put it all together and got right down to the end of it, and it didn't work. And so I went back to the instruction manual, and when I read it, I saw what I'd done wrong, and it was all the way at the beginning. So I had to disassemble the whole thing, start all over again. It behooves us to read the instruction manual. Read God's Word. He tells us why we must die. In Romans 5 and 12, we're going to start there. We're going to read a few scriptures. We're going to wind up in Thessalonians. Romans 5:12 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sin. Okay? Sin causes us to age. Sin causes us to get diseases. Sin is the problem that mankind has. You think back to the creation, when God created this world, and he reached down into the dust of the earth, and he formed Adam, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam became a living being. How long was Adam in the garden before he sinned? I don't know. No one does. God didn't see fit. But until sin entered into mankind, he didn't age. Adam and Eve could have been in the garden for millions, billions of years, or one day. I don't know. But no aging took place because until sin. So the Bible also says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty plain to me. All means everyone. That means you. That means me. That means everyone that's ever been born, everyone that will ever be born, and no matter their religion, whether it's Hindu, Muslim, Mormon, Buddhist, Jews, atheists, agnostics, it doesn't matter. Sin is upon mankind because it's our nature. It's passed down through our fathers. We've all come short of the glory of God. None of us are worthy. This morning we read a scripture in our Bible study that said, judge not lest ye be judged. Let me tell you something, friend, if we are honest with ourselves, I am so bad when I measure myself against Jesus, I have no right to judge anyone else. Because we're sinful, each and every one of us. None of us are innocent. I thank God I'm not going to get what I deserve, which is separation from God or death. We're guilty, all of us. So, is there any hope? Well, absolutely there are. Many would have you believe that there is no hope, so just get whatever you can from this life. We see that rampant theology in our culture, everybody out to get whatever they can get as quick as they can get it, not worried about tomorrow. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there is hope for a brighter future. Christians have something that no other religious people in the world have, and that's hope and an eternal presence of God. John 3:16, Brother James read this scripture the other day. I'm going to read it again this morning, about three verses there. Most of you can probably quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever's anyone believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I think I've got some of Gene's allergies. Y'all pray for me. Listen, our hope is not in what this life can give us. Our hope is not in what we can accomplish in our short time here on this earth. Our hope is in what God did for us there through his Son, Jesus Christ. God loves us so much that he sent the very best that he had. He sent a part of himself. We have hope of something better. We have hope of a brighter future because God loves us. And he gave us this gift. He paid the price for our sins so that we might be free. Yes, I know that this body has to die or be changed because it's sinful. And sin cannot enter into the presence of God. But God has done that for us as well, as we'll read in a little bit. When we accept the free gift of God that is offered to all mankind, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to make us whole, complete, eternally with Him. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, justified literally means to me that when I accepted the blood of Jesus that He shed there, and when I asked Him to save me, it's just if I had never sinned. Jesus justifies me through His sacrifice. He redeemed me. He bought me back. He paid the price for my sins. Jesus is the answer to death. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, which means a payment, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We have the promise of God that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. And although this body has to be changed, it has to die, go into the ground and be resurrected, or it has to be changed when Jesus comes back, we have that hope. We have that assurance. We know Jesus is coming back. Something that Satan is very good at in our culture today is putting forth this idea to man, to the world, that there are many paths, many ways to God. One of my favorite scriptures in the Word is John 14:6, and it's Jesus speaking, and He very plainly says this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. Did you hear that? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This thought process and this teaching that's so prevalent in the world today that you can get to God many different ways is a lie that's spread by Satan. Listen to what Jesus, God in the flesh, said. If you want to get in the presence of God, if you want to have this eternal life in heaven, you have to go through me, through my blood, through my sacrifice. There is no other way. All religions that I'm aware of believe that there is a God, or maybe gods, but all religions don't believe that Jesus is His Son. Let me tell you something. Any religious group, I don't care what name they put on the post, that does not proclaim Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, that was born of the Virgin Mary, His Father was God Almighty, He lived a sinless life, and that He freely gave Himself on the cross, that He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, He rose. He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He did what we couldn't do for ourselves. We can be forgiven for our sins. We can be released from the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from God, which truly is death, when we accept Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, this body, so very plainly to all of us here, we know, is not immortal. This body cannot last forever because of sin. In Genesis 3:19, right after the fall of man, God told us, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. We all have an appointment with death. Whenever I was saved many, many years ago, I came to the realization that if I died in the state that I was in, that I would go to hell. I knew it just as plain as I know I'm standing before you this morning. The Holy Spirit revealed that to me, and it scared me because I didn't want to go to hell. I did not want to go to that place of torment. I wanted to go and be where God was at. That next Sunday morning, whenever I was there and the Spirit was convicting me, I was there in that church in a little town of Pagosa Springs, Colorado. I was scared to take that step, but I was scared not to. The Spirit convicted me, and whenever I stepped out in that aisle, I don't remember the rest of the journey. Because listen, friend, all we really have to be afraid of is fear itself. Because all God requires of us is to take the first step. He's done all the heavy lifting. I've never been afraid of death since that time. Oh, I'm not trying to hasten it. I enjoy life. I believe that I still have a purpose here. But I know that when it's my time to leave this earth, that my spirit will go to be with God one day to be reunited with a new glorified body. We all have this appointment with death. I want you to know this morning, friend, that Jesus gave his life there on that cross specifically for you, just like he did for me. You see, I believe that if I was the only human ever to accept Jesus Christ, that he loved me enough that he would have still given himself on the cross just for me. Thankfully, everyone is afforded the same privilege. Jesus died for you, friend. He died so that you wouldn't have to suffer this separation from God. But this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you must choose to accept the sacrifice. You personally, no one else can do it for you. I can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, no one, your children, none of them can do it for you. You have to choose Jesus. It's very simple. I think sometimes we make it too complicated. But God made it so that everyone, rich, poor, no matter your education level, no matter where you come from, no matter your situation, could receive Jesus. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're told, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Listen to me, friend. We are saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ when we trust him. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God. You can't work your way there. You can't do enough of anything to save yourself. All you can do is accept what Jesus did. In verse 9 it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, it's all about what Jesus did. And all we can do is accept it. God sets us free with his gift, this free gift of Jesus. We're set free. We who have accepted Jesus are God's. And he's sending Jesus back to get us one of these days. And it could be soon. Read the instruction manual. I love these scriptures as well. 1 Thessalonians 4. If you would, turn over there with me and we'll read them. Beginning in verse 13. Apostle Paul writes, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, do we believe, church? Amen. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Friend, we have the answers to why man must die. We also have the answer as to how men might live. His name is Jesus. When you know Jesus, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, it's a little bit scary, preacher. I've never died before. I understand that. And so does God. But let me assure you, the same God that sent Jesus Christ, the same God that raised him from the dead, is the same God that promised to raise you likewise. Jesus is the first fruits. He's already received his glorified body. If you go over there and you'll read after the resurrection, you'll see that this body was magnificent. Then it could do things that we can only dream about doing. That's the body that Jesus dwells in today. That's the type of body we're going to get. You want to know what the best thing about that body is? No more sin nature. That old foe that we battle against daily. Listen, Jesus gave his life there on the cross for you. God sent him here for you. The choice of whether to accept it or not is yours. So, once again, I remind you that during this 2 hours we've been here, 12,632 people have died. It could as easily have been one of us. And someday it will. Friend, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't put it off, because in the next second, two people will die. Don't let one of them be you. Church, I hope that we can see how vitally important it is that we do what we were left here to do, and that is to spread the gospel to the lost and dying world, because of all the people that die every day. Some of those people could have been someone we had the opportunity to share Jesus with. How long till Jesus comes back, I don't know, but time could be short. Do you know someone that needs Jesus as their Lord and Savior, church? You may be the only chance they have of spending eternity in the presence of God. When can we stop? When Jesus comes back. And not a minute before. Because this world needs what we have. And what we have is the hope of a risen Savior. Listen, friend. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. Today is your day. Maybe you're listening via the internet. Let me tell you something, friend. You can be saved wherever you're at. All you have to do is trust and believe in Jesus Christ. He's coming back. Are you going to be ready when He does? One of these days, those of us who have accepted Him are going to hear that shout and that trumpet blow, and we're going to see our Savior come riding in on the cloud, and we're going to be taken up to be with Him. Things are really going to get dicey here on this earth after that for a while. Don't be left behind. Become a whosoever today before it's eternally too late. When you take your last breath here in this old body, where's your destination? Do you know where you're going? There's only two choices. You're not escaping death. You will get to choose, but today could be your last choice. Choose wisely. Choose Jesus. Choose life. Choose forgiveness. If I die before you, know this, I'm in a better place than you are because I'm in the presence of God. But also know this, when it's your time to join me there, I want to see every one of you there. Choose right. Gene, if you will come, if you'll stand with me, please, for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful for what you've done for us. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank Jesus for giving himself there on that cross. We know that he could have chosen not to, but he loves us like you do. We're thankful for that, Lord. I pray that if there's any here today, any that hear this sermon that don't know Jesus, that they would just get down on their knees and accept him before it's eternally too late. Lord, our prayer is that everyone be saved. And I know that's your intent, that Jesus died for all. That one precious drop of that blood that was spilled covers all sins. And I just pray, Lord, that the choices that are made today are the correct ones. We don't know how much longer we have on this earth as a people, or even as an individual. My prayer is, Lord, that you would soften the hearts of those that are lost, that they might see the reality in serving the true and living God and accept you before it's too late. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every life here today, whatever it may be. Salvation, dedication, church membership, Lord, as our desire is to please you and to follow your will. Spirit lead as he would. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page number 226.